Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back into another edition of the Fantasy Authority Podcast. This is your host, Kevin Steele. Thank you again for checking out the show. This is part two of our conversation. If you have not already, go and check out yesterday's podcast where we were talking about the early round guys you should be targeting. This episode, we're going to be talking about some of the mid-round guys. And then tomorrow, the third podcast will be out, and that'll be covering the late round guys. So I really appreciate everybody checking out the show. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Go check out our YouTube channel. We're producing a lot of good content right now, Dynasty, Redraft, and soon to be DFS. Really appreciate everybody. And enjoy the show.
Let's talk about some of these guys in the mid-tier rounds, and there's a lot of wide receivers here that we're going to touch on here in the fourth and eighth, and some running backs here as I'm looking through the list. So let's start it off talking about some guys. I guess I'll go because I didn't go in the last round, but I'm just going to move it along. And one of the guys who I put in the first three rounds who is potentially could be there in the fourth or fifth round is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is a guy that I just love getting a part of. He's been Jared Goff's guy since he's been in the league. He's been his guy in the red zone. He's out targeted Robert Woods in the red zone by 20. I think he has like 58, and then Robert Woods is behind him with 30. He's just been the security blanket that he leans on. I think at the end of the year, because the offensive line was so bad, that he was having to do more low A-dot throws, which is why we saw Tyler Higbee's stats go way up, because he was getting peppered with targets because that offensive line was getting pressure on Jared Goff, and he does not do well with that. But Cooper Kupp has just been a prolific wide receiver. I mean, this guy was still wide receiver four last year, even with his stats kind of being down. Even when he's injured, he's still been a top of the list for wide receivers. And I just, you know, we have this conversation about Robert Woods versus Cooper Kupp, but when I watch film of the Rams and when they need to make a big play, this is just the guy that he goes to. He catches everything that comes his way, and he's just been so reliable for Jared Goff in the way that Jared Goff loves to target him everywhere on the field. So Cooper Kupp is a guy for me. I think Keenan Allen's also a guy for me who's just being overlooked, I should say, that people are just sleeping on. This guy is falling in. You can get him round 6, 7, 8 in drafts that's just crazy for a guy who's going to be a wide receiver one. And I get it. Tyrod Taylor does not speak confidence into any situation that he's in. The last time we saw him with Cleveland did not look great, and Baker had to come in and save the day. But when you look at some of his numbers when he was with Buffalo, and Sammy Watkins was the wide receiver one when he was healthy, I mean, Sammy Watkins was putting up great stats, and Keenan Allen has just been such a prolific route runner and target for quarterbacks, of the like. And Phillip Rivers has been the main one of that. I think he's still just a wide receiver who's going to be in the top 24, and I don't think people are just looking at the value of him that way. And then another wide receiver or another player that I want to talk about is Mark Ingram, too, in that Baltimore situation. I mean, Lamar Jackson was just so efficient last year. And Mark Ingram, time and time again, even when he was with Alvin Kamara there in New Orleans, like was still being able to put up numbers. And people were talking about Latavius Murray could replace him. He didn't in New Orleans. And you see what Mark Ingram's doing time and time again. Yes, he's a 30-year-old running back. But the way that the Ravens, you know, run the ball and just establish field position down your throat, like Mark Ingram has a chance to really get double-digit touchdowns in this offense and get to that 1,000 yards that we saw a guy like Carlos Hyde do last year for the Texans. And where Mark Ingram's going is just so late. It makes no sense for you not to take this guy. Even if you already have two running backs on your team, three running backs on your team, you could just load up on wide receivers and then get this guy late where he's going. I just think that maybe it's the age, or maybe it's because Lamar Jackson's there and he was taking some of that rushing upside away from him. But Mark Ingram is definitely the guy. I don't trust guys like Gus Edwards to take that away from him. So those are the guys I'm looking at in these mid rounds. Cody, what say you about the mid rounds?
So I was going to throw this one out just so we could have a conversation about like the mid-round running backs who are getting pushed up, but we already kind of touched on it. But I'm still not off the bandwagon. I don't care how bad he was last year. David Montgomery, whenever you can get someone who's going to have 250, 260 touch upside in the late fourth round, I'm going to be all about that, especially with all the running backs who are being pushed up. Terry McLaurin is another one where you can get a team's wide receiver one who, even though they might not be quality targets, you're looking at him, he's probably locked in at what, 120, 130 targets with how bad that team is going to be this year. We touched on this guy a little bit earlier, but Marquise Brown, if we look at what he did last year whenever he went into his rookie season with that foot injury right as everything was kicking off for them, and with what he was able to do now that he's potentially fully healthy, I think it's a team that's going to have to throw a little bit more. And I really like what the Ravens have done in terms of bringing Lamar along, starting with his rookie year to how they progressed him last year. I think we see a little bit more of that in 2020. And then the last one, we touched on this offense already, but Jarvis Landry just being completely disrespected once again, and you can get him in the seventh round. And you're looking at, we were talking about earlier, that target share being split down the middle between he and Odell. You're looking at someone who's going to have a 25% target share. So getting that in the, I think he's going like mid seventh in most drafts right now. That's those are guys I'm going to be all over.
Maddie, what say you about the mid rounds and who are you looking at?
Well, I'm really high on the Colts offense this year. T.Y. Hilton, he's another wide receiver, one that kind of got pushed down the board due to the running backs, you know, going really high. He's going in the fifth round right now. That I was looking at the Colts roster earlier today, and it's T.Y. and Paris Campbell, and then they got Pittman on the outside as a rookie, and then Doyle. And other than that, I mean, they've got three, you know, they've got two good running backs, and then they've got Nyheim Hines, who can catch passes too. So, I mean, it's going to be the T.Y. Hilton show in Indy, and I think him in the fifth round is a great wide receiver pick there. Another guy with massive upside, which – everybody always wants to call people injury prone. And I think the guys who are injury prone start the year. The ones that start the year injured are the guys that get hurt during the season. The guys that come in healthy, they're less likely to, you know, get hurt during the year because they're not carrying lingering hamstring issues or trying to fight through something and, you know, end up hurting something else, compensating for that injury.
Do it, Maddie. Do it.
It's Will Fuller season.
Yes! Did it!
I mean, Hopkins is gone. They've got Cooks in there, but it's we've seen how much, like, you look up the splits for Deshaun Watson with and without Will Fuller on the field, and it's absolutely absurd. I think he goes to like 2.5 touchdowns with Fuller on, and is below 2 without him. So it's Will Fuller in like the eighth round, ninth round area is just way too much upside, and it's solely because people are, you know, for the fear of drafting a guy who might get hurt. And I want to say he had 11 or 12 of his games last year were double digits. So there was a bit of consistency, and it wasn't just, you know, those spike weeks that are, you know, better suited for best ball. So he's a guy that I like in all formats. And then outside of that, Marvin Jones is another. This is like the wide receiver range down here. Marvin Jones piggybacks off the Kenny Galladay, Matt Stafford stack from earlier. It's just, you know, Marvin Jones is just one. He's that dude, and he's very solid. He led the team in red zone targets last year, despite playing two less games than Galladay. So Marvin Jones he's going to be the red zone guy, especially with Ebron no longer on the team as well. So I really like Marvin Jones down there.
So the Will Fuller one, like I really was going to go Will Fuller. Then I looked, and Derek already had Will Fuller. I was like, well, shit, all right, I don't want to take the same one as him. Because I have Will Fuller, I think, ranked wide receiver 20 right now, and I think I could feel better about moving him even higher. Like, I love Will Fuller this year. He is being completely slept on. It's all about the injury and everything else that he's had. But all that's being baked out because where you can get him. Like, his ceiling is so high in that offense without DeAndre Hopkins there. They have no tight ends, and I absolutely love Will Fuller. Like he easily could finish as a wide receiver one this year. I would not be surprised at all.
Love it. I think I saw somebody make the point that he was this year's AJ Green, and it's just everyone else is stressing
come on.
Can't stress enough there. And Maddie, you touched on it. There's such a difference between a guy entering the season injured and somebody getting injured. I'm not going to try to predict those injuries. He's healthy now, and his upside is through the roof.
Man,
Cody, you're higher on Brandon Cooks, aren't you? Are you higher on Brandon Cooks than Will Fuller, or no?
I mean, I think if they can both stay healthy, I would prefer Cooks. I think Cooks is the better all-around wide receiver, just in terms of wide receiver play. I think Cooks is the better overall wide receiver. I mean, is this Kenny Stills' season? Is he going to be the last man standing? I think it's a legit.
He's a great flyer late.
Kiki Kuti,
he's Randall Cobb.
No, but for real, Stills is a great flyer late, because if anything happens to Fuller or Cooks, he steps right in, and he's been with the team now for a year. I love him as like a deep dynasty stash, or just, you know, taking him last round at best ball and stuff like that. Yep.
Man, I love the Will Fuller call so damn much. I really do. I mean, like, if you look at his last 23 games with Deshaun Watson, like 2017 to 2019, the dude is on a 100 target, 68 reception, almost 1,100 yards, and 9 touchdown pace, like over 16 games. Like, you look at what they did, and all this is fresh in my mind. I just got done with my Texans write-up. They first year under Kelly, they did change the offense some from what Bill O'Brien had done. The deep ball attempts went up from 3.9 to 5.4 for Deshaun. So he, like – and they started running more 11 personnel. I want to say they went up around like 8% from the previous season. So the Randall Cobb signing does make sense in that. So I do like him as like a late round guy. But like Will Fuller, oh my God, it just fits what they want to do on offense, man. They want to chuck it freaking deep, and they can do so. Like, Watson's going to have more time. His time to throw has decreased like over the last 3 years, every single season. I'm all aboard the Texans right now, man. Like, I think Fuller is going to freaking smash. Like, he's going as wide receiver 32 right now. Give me that all day. Like, I do not care about his injury history at all. He's second year coming off an ACL. Like, if you look at like a lot of players that come off of ACL injuries, and I know he's had a lot of soft tissue stuff besides all of that, but second year ACLs, Dalvin Cook stayed healthy for most of the season last year, and he's a running back. Like, these guys have more nagging things as they're trying. This, we could say, easily say, like, this is close to like what the healthiest offseason outside. I think he had like one elective surgery that Will Fuller's coming off of in the last few years. The rapport is there, like, to the Cooks take. I like Brandon Cooks, man. The concussion scared the bejesus out of me. He's still got the freaking talent. But if we're going to talk about, like, all these different things about a different
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Season. Fuller knows the system. The rapport is there with Watson. Like, that is there from day one, man. Like, so I love Will Fuller. I love Cody's take on Terry McLaurin. I want every bit of Terry McLaurin. Scott Turner is going to have this. They're going to be passing the ball like crazy. The Panthers were second in passing attempts in the NFL last year. So it does not matter what you think about Dwayne Haskins.
I think Haskins is good, personally.
I don't think he has to, like, even he doesn't have a high benchmark, like, to hit for McLaurin to pay off.
I think Haskins is a serviceable NFL quarterback.
Like, last year, nothing really changed a whole lot with McLaurin. I mean, with Haskins under center, you just saw McLaurin's touchdown rate fell to nothing. Like, in the six games he was with Case Keenum, if you took that and paced him out, he would have been the wide receiver 8, 13, 7, and 7 over the last 4 years. So that's the type of ceiling, if we can get just what Case Keenum type of play out of Terry, out of Dwayne Haskins. The last two guys I got to mention real quick is DJ Chark. The Jaguars are going to be god-awful. Chark, before he got hurt last year, was the wide receiver 8 in points per game. He's the number one there. If he gets any more slot time, he balled out in the slot when he was there last year. I think Gruden treats him as the true alpha, which A.J. Green saw a 30% target share during his years with Jay Gruden. And Cam Akers, I mean, like, I don't have anything else to add to Cam Akers besides just draft the damn dude. He's going as the running back 25, 26 in a lot of different drafts. He's in a top 10 offense. He's easily the most talented player on that freaking depth chart. I don't care what you think about the offensive line. They can be middle of the road, and they're top five in red zone attempts per game last year, as much as, like, people want to crap on the offense. Like, what else do you want? Like, you're taking him at an RB3 price, and he legit has top 20, if not top 15 upside. Like, if not even more. And I'm not going to get hyperbolic, like, here, but, like, it's ridiculous. And people want to talk to me about Daryl Henderson. Get the hell out of here. Like, I will mute you so damn fast on Twitter, it will make your freaking head spin.
I mean, if you're talking about a rookie running back who's going to come in and get work right away, even with the all the COVID stuff going on, it's got to be Cam Akers. Of, like, if you said no offseason or whatever, no camp, we're just going to go in to game one, Cam Akers would be the rookie that I would peg game one to have the biggest – share of action of among the rookie running backs, because I mean, Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown, John Kelly, like, those are three guys with no draft capital, really, other than Henderson was a third round pick, but the Rams just spent a second rounder on Akers, and those guys have a combined, like, what, 200 carries in their career.
Well, we've talked about this, I mean, in DMs like crazy, Maddie. Like, I don't think that we see this same offense, man. Like, you look at what they did in the draft. You look at what all they did entire offseason. People want to crap on their offensive line. And I don't – how can we look at all of their offseason moves and sit here and think that they're definitively going to go back to 12 personnel? Like, that wasn't working amazingly. Like, this down the stretch, like, I get people want Tyler Higbee to be a thing, but Gerald Everett was hurt. The offensive line was hurt. If they're just simply healthier, I think they spread it back out, man. Like, I think they go back to running more zone concepts. Gurley had no ability to cut on a dime. He could not run zone to save his life. That's why they went heavier. That's why they went, let's get him downhill and then just feed him volume, man. Like,
I agree. And so perhaps even my favorite part of Akers was he could catch the ball out of the backfield. Like, I think he's going to be the pass catcher there. And Gurley only had 55% of the carries last year for the Rams, but he still had close to 80 targets. So, I mean, if Akers even sniffs that, like, give him 55% of the carries and give him 60 targets, and I'll gladly take that in the sixth round.
I think the Rams offense as a whole is being undervalued. Like, I think
I agree. Jared Goff is insanely cheap.
When people say
Robert Woods,
or Cup, I say, why not both? Like, literally, like, why not both?
I think it's just recency bias, right? I mean, the year before, they're one of the top five best offenses in the league, And now,
but now McVay is a bum, right. Kev. Have you not heard? Per Twitter, he's a bum. Right, exactly. Like, Goff's still a top 10 scoring offense, but he's a bum now.
Goff led the NFL in pass attempts last year.
Oh, don't get it twisted. Yeah. Jared Goff is a straight fucking bum. But for fantasy purposes.
He's so cheap, like Manny said.
Yes. I love him for fantasy. As a real NFL quarterback, he's fucking terrible. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
Oh my god!
Hilarious.
I mean, half the league is terrible.
I mean, he's Derek Carr, right? Like that's we don't need to go. We've had this conversation.
Stop. Okay?
I've heard this conversation already.
We've had it.
I know. I've heard you have it with Maddie, okay?
And I'm right. We're
not going to go through that.
We saw it last year. Okay, we saw what happens. Okay,
he's baiting.
Regardless.
Oh yeah, he is.
He definitely is. I actually think I'm with him on that one.
Regardless. Okay. I think the Rams. And I think the Steelers are probably the two most undervalued offenses in football right now. For me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Rams by a mile. Yeah. Like, it's not even like close to me. Like, I worry a little bit about James Conner.
Right. There's that. But I mean, I think James Conner has just as high, if not higher, ceiling than what Cam Akers has. He's definitely going to get that backfield to himself. I think the biggest key is if Big Ben can stay healthy. If he stays healthy,
same with
this offense takes a big step forward. Right, like Juju returns to being probably feel much better about him being that guy again.
Team Juju,
yes, and then you have Deontay Johnson, which this is. I think that he has wide receiver two upside, certainly in him. I think James Washington as a field stretcher, you know, I mean, so.
James Washington's super underrated.
And, you know, if he does go down, if James Conner goes down, you have Anthony McFarland that you can get in the 12th, 13th round that I absolutely love. The dude's a beast. He's a baller. You know, he led all rookie running backs last year in yards created. And I like some Anthony McFarland as well. So. I think the Steelers are also a really undervalued offense.
Can we, since we're out here just squashing narratives and hurting people's souls right now, I want to get it out there into the space that, like, can we just, like, absolutely just murder the narrative of Juju is going to go back and see more time in the slot? He saw more time in the slot last year!
Yeah, he saw more time in the slot last year than he did the year before. He actually played 66% of his snaps last year were in the slot, which was up from last year where he ran 61% of his snaps from slot.
He was in the slot more last year, so you're telling me, okay, if anything, that should hurt your case. Like, shut up! He did not leave the slot! Anyway, all right.
Oh my god, I love it.
Hey, real quick before we move on, I just want to get this question here since Travis is still rocking it in the YouTube chat with us. He asked a question earlier. He has a Superflex half PPR dynasty trade offer. Somebody wants his Wentz, Rager, and Akers for Lamar.
Hell no.
No, not even close.
You've got a QB1, you've sent them back. A future RB1, and a future wide receiver 1.
Kidding me? No. Hell no.
Even with the caveat that
tell that guy to fuck off.
No. Yeah, like you tell him, like, do not come back at me with that. Are you sending him like
Cody said for Lamar, and I was like, what else? Just Lamar? That's it?
That's the most ridiculous, like insane offer. I saw that earlier, and I was just like. Just say no, man.
Hell no. No, I absolutely prefer the Wentz side as well. But then he had the caveat of he was planning on punting. So I was saying, like, if you already have picks lined up, if you're planning on punting, if you have a plan in
– If you're punting? Like, yeah, you're giving away two rookies.
This is the kind of move you make when you're rebuilding.
Like, that's the kind of move you should make when you're rebuilding. Like, I want the Wentz side when I'm rebuilding.
You want the Ragers in the world.
That's a terrible offer.
The Ragers and the Akers. Absolutely.
Especially is this – so it says Superflex. Even in Superflex, this is terrible.
Well, and two, it's like we just went through a draft, which probably is going to be like we don't know what the 2021 draft is going to be like. So even with the players who are out there, which are great college prospects who are supposed to be coming out, and that draft could be deep, but we don't know what the season will hold for them or what it will even look like. So you just invested all this capital in great guys in Akers and Rager. To go with Wentz there, who seems to be established there as the future, and why would you even expend all that capital
You're being too nice explaining it. That was a terrible offer.
Laughing too, thinking about it, because if you're punting, you're usually at least getting future first round picks, and you're giving So no, don't do that.
Right.
No. You need to stay in the dynasty Slack, my friend. Like, if you're getting offers like that, just so like that Kev can tell you like what to malign the other the owner with, because like that's a terrible offer.
I love Kamiko Cotton on the Facebook commenting, send me a Western Union with that trade. I love that. Just went up there live. Oh, man. Let's talk about some late round sleepers, guys. And Cody, as we talk about Jalen Reagor, I know that is one of your guys there. But yeah, let's get into the late round sleeper conversation and where people.
And with that, thank you everybody for checking out the show. I really appreciate all the support. Tune back in tomorrow as we wrap up this up. It should be about an hour show tomorrow where we're talking about the late round guys you should be drafting. There's some Adam Gase talk that gets pretty wild. Anyways, I really appreciate everybody checking out the show. We'll see you guys again next week. Or actually, I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Really appreciate it. Again, hit that subscribe button. Go check out our YouTube channel. Really appreciate you guys being a part of the TFA fam. It really helps us. I cannot thank you guys enough for all the support you guys show us. So again, you know, let's show everybody why the TFA squad is the best. Go hit that TFA. Go hit that subscribe button. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we're going to be looking to give out some stuff here very soon. We're finalizing stuff. T-shirts. We're going to start giving some of those out to all the great supporters we have. So appreciate it. See you guys again tomorrow. Don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about.
We hope you enjoyed your stay. It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day. We hope you enjoyed your stay. Outside the sun is shining, seems like heaven ain't far away. It's good to have.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.